Good afternoon, and welcome to We the People Radio. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
And you can find everything about our show at wethepeopleradio.us. We've got archives stretching back like 9.5 years, actually. Got tons.
Back when I was just a pup.
Yeah, Bill was in high school then.
Yeah.
topics that really span the wide variety of things that might be discussed on a conservative talk radio program. We have collected some of those on the top bar for you. So the shows that were about veterans issues, South Africa, China, Islam, environmental craziness, which I think we'll be going back to next week if we don't go to firearms, thinking about that. Marijuana, we've done a bunch of shows on that. And so if you would like to look at them by topic, that's across the top bar. And the archives are listed by date. So you've got tons of people all around the country. And we really appreciate our listeners outside the U.S. For people who are listening, regardless of where you are, it's, I don't know, it's been very interesting to watch. We've got about half the listeners are outside the U.S., regardless of topic. And the number one place outside the U.S. is Ukraine. So I guess we should be saying hi to our Ukrainian friends every week. Besides that, it might get us in trouble, so we should definitely be doing that.
Definitely say hi.
The Russians are way down there. They don't love us as much, so I'm not sure we can get in good trouble. You know, the Ukrainians do, so God love you.
Yeah.
Boys and girls. So
We have a sponsor.
I was just going to say that. Were you trying to read my mind with your mouth?
Yeah, our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery.
Look at him. He's like, come on, do the sponsor.
Yeah, do it.
Okay,
do it.
All right. Okay, start over.
Pape Machinery is our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, just off of I-5 there, Twinview. They carry everything you can imagine in the way of small tractors, attachments, riding mowers, zero-turn motors. They've got them all, and they got them all, in stock.
Sure.
And, just go by there and take a look at what they have. If you need service, they got a full-service department. They also have a mobile service capability. They pretty much do it all. So go up and see them. Their phone number is 226-9226, or you can check them out on the web at papemachinery.com. That's spelled P-A-P-E machinery.com. So that's the guys for this hour.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, we like the ag industry. They, they make our large properties look nice and take care of stuff. And if you're an ag producer, big happy Sunday to you. Thanks for making our grocery store trip later today worthwhile.
That's right. Because we know where groceries come from.
Because we do know where groceries come from. And it's not the store.
No.
Yeah. Meat doesn't come from the butcher either.
No.
Meat comes from cows that apparently don't fart, by the way. Little side trail here. That it's apparently the belching.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the methane problem.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. So even those imbeciles with their climate change nonsense don't even know which end of the cow they're worried about.
They got the wrong end on that one, too. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. They don't even know where to put the cork.
Nice.
So we're going to talk about Islam today with our friend Peter Friedman. And in case we get all serious and start talking about serious topics and forget to mention this, we did a show with Peter Friedman not that long ago, and it was about the FBI. Yes. Oh. Wow. I guess it was a really long time ago, February of 2018.
Well,
okay, apparently I've slept since then.
Almost a year.
But I was just laughing about it the other day. It's like it just happened. So if you would like to hear a funny story, true stories about the FBI and, spoiler alert, one gun falling in the toilet. Every time I saw an FBI guy the other night at an event, and every time I see an FBI guy, I picture him dropping his gun in the toilet. It's terrible.
Yeah.
You've ruined us forever, Peter. We are
rank and file.
We are forever ruined. So our guest Peter Friedman, just since apparently we haven't done this real recently, I can't believe it's been that long. He's been studying and lecturing on the threat of Islam to America for over 40 years. He maintains a thorough collection of Qurans in English translations, beginning with George Sale's translation of 1734. So just in case you were thinking he was going to be making up all the stuff he's going to talk to us about today, yeah, not so much. Each one's been studied and researched and compared to the others, and he does a tremendous amount of research. And I I do believe that the phrase of the day will be read the book, because that's what he always tells us. We always ask him a bunch of dumb questions, and he tells us to read the book. So I just want you to know that we're going to get yelled at a lot today, so it's worth sticking around. And I'm going to skip to the bottom part of Peter. Oh, apparently your name is Peter Fry on the archive. Bill just pointed out. I'll fix that.
Yeah,
I'll
fix that, will you?
Okay, so back to the facts. Many members of Mr. Friedman's family were murdered in the Holocaust by the Nazis. So it's also always been a fascination that the Muslims supported the Germans in both World War I and World War II. In fact, it was the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, his last name is Husseini. I don't know how you say the rest of it. You could tell us, Peter. If I read the book, I'd probably know. And he was the uncle of Yasser Arafat, who supported Hitler by sending Bosnian Muslim soldiers to be part of the SS. I mean, what the heck? You've got an awesome history, and no wonder you started looking into this.
Well, you know, it's always been a fascination. I think I told you many, many moons ago, and God, I've been on with you for, what, at least a dozen times, I guess, over the years.
Yeah, and it was back in 2012, the first time you came on, so.
It's hard to believe.
I know, isn't that weird? And we've still never met you.
Well, you know something? I was going to mention that. I would be more than happy, which I have done before, to come up to where you are, and hopefully, like on a Saturday, do a workshop.
That'd be
and
fun.
go through all of this stuff here. I did it down there in Gilroy 5-6 years ago when they were trying to build a mosque down there in San Martin, just outside of Gilroy, and was in the public library down there and did an entire workshop on a Saturday. It was about 6 hours. And went through the origins of the Quran, and then we talked about Sharia law, and it went on and on and on, and people were absolutely dumbfounded. And as we went along, people who were sitting there were calling other people who then came over, and we wound up with several hundred people there at the time.
Wow.
And explaining... you know, the origins of the mosque and what it represents. And I've got PowerPoint presentations on all of this, if you like death by PowerPoint. And it was fascinating. And since we did that and we had the city council members who ultimately showed up for the last several hours, the mosque has yet to be built.
Nice.
And that's what happens when you tell the truth. And you are absolutely correct about read the book. If you don't read the book, then there's no point in any of this. You've got to read the book because reading the book will justify and substantiate the problem. And the problem begins with, and I have 10 basic questions for people to ask of any Muslim, whether it's an imam or a guy on the street or somebody in the Middle East. And the very first question has to be, do you believe that every word that is printed in the Quran comes literally from God? Now, from a religious standpoint, if they are a practicing Muslim, they have to answer yes. The minute they answer yes, kind of like Ilhan Omar in Congress from Minnesota, you know exactly what you're dealing with. Which means that everything that comes out of her mouth or Rashida Tlaib or any Muslim that is in contradiction to what is written in the Quran is a lie. Now, this opens up a very interesting thing. Are you allowed to lie in Islam? Most Muslims will say no. Let's read the book. Go back to book, there are 114 books or chapters or surahs in the Quran. There's 6,247 verses. In chapter 66, it talks about lying in Islam and the exemptions or exceptions to the fact that Muslims are not allowed to lie to each other. Okay?
Well, they can't
certainly
lie.
Okay.
They can't lie to each other, but they can probably lie to us. Let's take a really quick break so we don't get that confused. We'll pick right up with that when we return. You're listening to We the People. Our guest today is Peter Friedman. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. It cut it off at the part about how they were going to reach out and grab you. That's what I was going for. I guess I didn't make the clip long enough. So what? We all know the song. Okay, so back to the lying.
Okay, so what I deal with, as you well know from our past communications, is I deal from the book. Okay, I don't take it at face value anything that anybody says. Read the book. All right, and it will tell you everything. And give
we're
you
talking
the
about the
question.
Quran, just to be...
I'm talking about the Quran.
Yeah,
yes.
Clear.
Okay, and you got to read one that has not been sanitized either. So if you want to get a Quran that's authentic, get the one by Pickthall, P-I-C-K-T-H-A-L-L, or Ali Yusuf, Y-U-S-U-F. Those are the legitimate ones, and they have everything in it that we're going to talk about. Some of the other ones wind up being sanitized to use, you know, for the infidel, meaning us or the non-believer, to try to convince them Islam is peaceful. Yeah, well, it's P-I-E-C-E, not P-A-C-E. You know, it's kind of like Hitler. You know, he wanted peace, too. He wanted a piece of Czechoslovakia and a piece of Poland. Okay, so let's talk about lying in Islam, because that is critically important. Okay, to understanding all of this stuff, especially with what's going on in Iran. I mean, they have taken this to an art. Okay, so the concept of deception in Islam, to advance Islam in Arabic, is called taqiyya. T-A-Q-I-Y-Y-A. That is the Arabic word for deception. So when anybody tells you that you know, that Islam is peaceful and all they want to do is live together with everybody and it's merciful and everything, it's all nonsense. It's all nonsense. And unfortunately, we with our Christian ethic, and I'm not trying to be pejorative, I'm just stating a fact, go in for appeasement, we go in for, well, let's pay you like the alligator theory to eat us last. Mm-hmm. And strangely enough, Islam has made so many inroads into the United States, especially, and lately through Barack Obama and the Muslim Brotherhood, that they are in the process of getting a political foothold in the United States without having to use a sword. And so this is a big deal for them. Okay, so speaking of swords, and I constantly tell my Christian friends, and I have quite a few of them, that if you really want to read something interesting, read the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 36. Now, what is Luke 22, 36? Luke 22, 36 is when Jesus essentially indicates to the disciples that he is going to be leaving them, and they say, Master, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to defend ourselves? And Jesus says to them, and you may read this in Luke 22:36, he says that if you do not have a sword, then sell your cloak and buy one. You have the right of self-defense. So if you talk to Christian clerics, they don't like to bring this up, but they know about it. Trust me on that one, because I pose this to everyone I run into. And anybody who says, well, no, we have to turn the other cheek. No, that's nonsense. Jesus specifically said that you have the right of self-defense, and I quote, if you do not have a sword, then sell your cloak and buy one. Luke 22:36. Okay, so crossing over now. It's interesting how the exemptions to lying took place in the Quran. You're going to like this, like the FBI and the gun in the toilet.
Nothing's that good.
This is pretty good.
Oh, okay.
This is pretty good. Okay. If you go to chapter 66 in the Quran, it talks about the exemptions to not being truthful. And there are three exemptions that are in the Quran. Now, remember, this is the literal word of God for a Muslim. So all these people like Zuhdi Jasser and, you know, the people you see on Fox News sometime, these women who are Muslim reformers, this is nonsense. You cannot edit the word of God. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So here's what happened. Okay. You are allowed to lie if it is going to save your life during the time of war. Okay? You can renounce Islam if you are taken captive to save your life so that you can fight another day. The second one is you are allowed to lie in order to advance the cause of Islam, which in the Quran is defined as to wipe all other religions off the face of the earth so that Islam is the only one left. So anything that advances the cause of Islam can be deceitful.
So you can pretty much lie about anything then. Yeah.
Sky's the limit.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, you're beginning to get it already. Now, the third one is really funny. Here's the problem. In one of the last battles that Muhammad actually was involved in, there was a woman who was a captive, and her name in the Quran is called Mary the Copt, C-O-P-T. She was a Coptic Christian. And his soldiers wound up killing her husband, and she was exceptionally beautiful, and they to curry favor with Muhammad. They brought her to Muhammad. Muhammad decided that he was going to take her for one of his 22 wives. Okay, so what happened? The night that she was captured, Muhammad spent the night with Mary, and in the morning he came back to the main tent where his formerly 6-year-old wife, Aisha, had been. She was about 20 at this point, and it was her turn with Muhammad. And she gave Muhammad holy hell. Where were you? I know you were with that slut, Mary, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You were supposed to be with me last night. And Muhammad said, well, he said, Aisha, he says, you realize that every word that comes out of a Muslim mouth is preordained by Allah. He says, so let me go up into the cave outside of town, he says, and Let me see whether or not I can get an answer from Allah through the angel Gabriel to me about this situation. So he goes up there, and I can picture Muhammad sitting in the cave, smoking a little ganj, a little fire going on there, and all of a sudden he gets this revelation. And I don't mean he gets a revelation from God. And he comes back to Aisha that afternoon. He says, I've got the answer. He said, I had this revelation. It was put into my head by Gabriel from Allah. And he said, in fact, it is okay to lie to one's wife to keep peace in the home.
That's handy.
And she bought it. Oh, yeah. Okay, so this is like the driving commercials on TV. This is a professional driver on a closed course. Don't you try. Okay?
Don't try this at home. Your wife will know.
Yeah. You don't have a canyon.
Unbelievable.
Your wife is not going to buy this.
No. I have not tried it. All I know is I brought this up to Rose in one of my lectures one afternoon, and she just gave me this stink eye look, and I'm going, yeah, okay, that's not going to work. It's kind of like Bill Clinton, right, and Monica Lewinsky.
That worked out
well. Wasn't sense. Yeah, how did that work out for him? Okay, so there are passages written down in Islamic literature, including the Quran, that talk about this. In Book 2, verse 225, in Book 4, verse 101, Book 66, the entire chapter 66 in the Quran is devoted to the three exceptions, the lying. I think we talked about the hadith before, the hadith of the sayings of Muhammad collected by a bunch of his followers. So volume 7, chapter 27, verse 2605, the current revision of Sharia law, which is called the reliance of the traveler. It's in two sections there. It's in C6.2. It's in R8.2. And it just goes on and on and on. You gotta read the book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, there are certain parts of the book, of course, that, you know, might help you, such as Book 66 in certain situations. But you have to understand that if you read the book and a Muslim says, no, you're not allowed to lie under Islam, you know it's taqiya. You know it's deception. It's that simple, but people don't want to believe it in the West, okay?
Because no, that wouldn't be okay in, I mean, if it's a religion, then that's not okay. And so we just see everything through our own lens, I guess, just like everything
else.
You got
it. You absolutely are correct, okay? So when you take the lenses of Judaism and Christianity and you decide to throw, you know, Islam in there, you know, it doesn't,
they try to make it come out right.
Yeah, but it doesn't come out right. Okay, so moving from there, talking about the lens, let's talk a little bit about some of these baloney interfaith groups.
There's
a whole lot of interfaith groups that are out there running around.
How about this, Peter? Let's take a really quick break, and that way we don't have to interrupt you.
No problem.
We'll just like interrupt you at the front end. I didn't say we would never interrupt. Well, I could say we were never going to interrupt you.
Taqiya.
Yeah. Yep.
There you go.
We need to have like a little sound file. Taqiya.
Yeah.
I think we can figure that out.
So we'll have a little celebration of capitalism here and be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Take me by love. So take my soul.
Pretty sure that's what Aisha was playing when Muhammad came back.
Yeah. Anything you want.
And then Roy Orbison was like, oh my God, that would make an awesome song.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. That's where it came from. Revelation.
It's amazing how you look at music throughout history, and you know, as you're talking, I'm looking at song titles, and it's like, wow, never would have thought of that before. We've now desecrated Roy Orbison. Sorry, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
It will.
All right.
Okay. All right. So speaking of deception,
yes.
Before we get into some of the better stuff, there are interfaith groups that are out there running around. Most of them are Las Vegas lounge acts. And they have a minister, they have a pastor, they have a rabbi, they've got an imam. And there's this one group that I have gone to watch a couple of times in the last 7-8 years.
Well, don't forget they're all tax pardon? They're all tax exempt too, so don't forget that part.
Oh, they're all 501c3s.
Yeah.
Okay, so these guys are great. They build themselves out as the Three Amigos. You know, and you gotta go and listen to these people. So they were in a Presbyterian church here where I live, and there's a Reform rabbi, and a Reform rabbi is a communist, you know, right from the open. And I can do a whole program on that if you'd like, Reform, conservative, and Orthodox. But the whole Reform movement was born out of the Bolsheviks after the Russian Revolution. There's a Christian pastor, and there's a Muslim imam, and the guy's from Pakistan. And I sat there in a Presbyterian church over here in Lafayette, California, and it was 2 hours of lies by the imam. And as he was going through all of this nonsense, the rabbi and the pastor were pleading with the audience, who were mostly, you know, Presbyterians, for patience, understanding, further neighbor-to-neighbor dialogue between Jews, Christians, and Muslims. And this imam consistently misquoted the Quran for the entire time. It was interesting because he started out by saying there were 6,250 verses. In fact, there are only 6,247, but who's quibbling? And I happened to bring with me, of course, my copy of Pickthall's Quran and Reliance of the Traveler, which is Sharia law. The most serious fabrication the imam made during this 2 hours involved the treatment of homosexuality in the Islamic world. And he described specifically that homosexuality was not biologically inherent, but chosen by those who are gay. He described numerous Islamic charitable organizations in the Islamic world, including in Iran and Saudi Arabia, who try to assist homosexuals with returning to the heterosexual life. And the rabbi and the pastor said nothing during this. So in the meantime, we see what goes on, you know, in Iran, where they're stringing up, you know, homosexuals, they're throwing them out of third floor windows. Mm-hmm. And stuff like this. So, you know, it's like, I don't know whether you ever saw the old Peter Sellers movie, What's New Pussycat?
Oh, yeah.
But Peter Sellers is in the closet with the good-looking girl, and his wife is the opera singer, you know, that with the horn, the hat with the horns and everything, and she comes down and confronts him, throws open the door, and finds Peter Sellers in there, you know, with the girl, and she says, I caught you, and Sellers comes out and says, no, you didn't. Are you going to believe your lying eyes or what I tell you? You know, and it's the same. And this stuff goes on and on and on. The imam was then discussing how well women are treated under Islam.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Based on what?
He said that women love Allah and Islam. They love being Muslim. He says they feel protected. He said that the Quran does not condone treating women harshly, except for the fact that, you know, you're allowed to beat your wife if she talks back to you, and on and on and on. It's an entire patriarchal ideology, okay? It's a totally patriarchal belief system. And the problem that I had sitting there, and I've always had going to these stupid interfaith get-togethers here, is observing the audience. And here are people who probably average, I don't know, the age of 60, mostly Christians, few Jews mixed in, and They were there to hear what they wanted to hear. Okay? Like, please tell me that Islam is peaceful and just misunderstood. Please tell me that I have nothing to fear from Muslims. You know, and stereotypically, of course, the imam charged that all the violence in the Middle East is caused by Israel, and, you know, on and on and on and on. And it's terrible. It's, you know, so I would recommend that you go to one of these things, if for no other reason, you know, to just see the deception and the lies that are being perpetrated. Okay, now, read the book. Read the book. In the book, in the Quran and in the Hadith, it talks about two portions of the world. The world is divided into two sections. One is called Dar al-Islam. Dar meaning the land al, the land of Islam, where Islam is in control. And it's supposed to be peaceful. There is equitable misery among everybody. Okay? And nobody gets ahead. Then there's the other side, which is called Dar al-Harb, H-A-R-B, which is the land of conflict. And that is where Islam does not have dominion. And so it is a religious obligation in all of Islamic literature for a devout Muslim or a practicing Muslim to transition from Dar al-Islam into Dar al-Harb and try and proselytize and convert everybody to Islam. Now, it's kind of like Monty Hall, okay, with the three doors, right?
Yeah.
The game show. Okay, door number one. Door number one is Muslims take over. They come to you as a non-believer, and they say, okay, you have three doors. Okay, door number one. Door number one is you convert, and we leave you alone. Door number two, you don't convert, but you have to pay the extortion tax, the protection tax. It sounds like the mafia. You have to pay the protection tax called in Arabic jizya. Okay? Or what's door number three? We kill you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that has a sword.
Because now you're of no use. You're of no use to Islam anymore. You won't convert and be part of the club, and you're not going to give us the money for protection, so what value do you have? We're going to kill you. Okay? Done. Door one, door two, door three. Okay. Let's go to the book. So, for example, there is no, people will tell you, well, there's no violence in the Quran, and the violence that is in the Quran, of course, I just contradicted myself. The violence in the Quran is historical, like the Old Testament. They constantly harp on that. Well, there's no difference between the Old Testament and the Quran. Wait a minute. The Quran is supposed to be the literal word of God. The Old Testament was written with the inspiration of God, but it was written by man. Okay? So it's kind of editable, and it has been along the way for thousands of years. So, for example, let's talk about non-believers. That's us. And you go to book two, you go to verse 191, and it says, kill the non-believers wherever you find them. Book two, verse 244, fight in the way of Allah. Book two, verse 216, fighting is enjoined on you. Book three, verse 56, and then as to those who disbelieve, I will chastise them with severe chastisement in this world and the hereafter. Book 3, verse 151. We will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Their abode is the fire. Let's see. 4.74. Let those fight in the way of Allah. Whoever fights in the way of Allah, we shall grant him a mighty reward. Book 4, verse 89, non-believers desire that you should disbelieve as they have disbelieved. Then seize them and kill them wherever you find them. Take not from among them a friend or a helper. Book 4, verse 104, be not weak-hearted in pursuit of the enemy. That's us. I'll go just a little further. Book 5, this is a good one. Book 5, verse 33, the punishment of those who wage war against Allah and his disciple is that they should be murdered or crucified, or their hands and their feet should be cut off on opposite sides.
That's not a good choice.
Yeah, kind of backed into a corner on that one, which is how these all end. And, you know, we've got to take another quick break, but maybe on the break, if people happen to be online, look at the Islam tab at the top of the page. And on below the shows there is a link for a really, really good book. It's not the Quran, so it's not the book, but it is a book, and it's amazing, written by Mr. Friedman's friend, Frank Burley. It's All About Muhammad. And every time I tell someone the story or the name of it, they're like, well, what's the name of it? I go, it's called, quote, It's All About Muhammad, unquote. And they're like, I know it's all about Muhammad, but what's it called? I thought, oh my God. He should have just called it Who's On First. It starts this endless circle. So that's the name of the darn book, and we put a picture of it on there. But honestly, I have been able to have a lot of conversations with people who are super misinformed, even people who were actually Muslim, which was interesting. And I asked them a lot of things that we learned from that book, and they don't know that stuff. It's the biography of Muhammad, and it's really, really well researched. So, and it's a compelling read. So anyway, that is on there. We'll be back with our guest, Peter Friedman. He is our hostage for the following hour, just in case you thought we were going to slam bang wrap up here, because we're not. There's more.
Much more.
There's more. There's always more. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Either team could use that one, because that's really the crux of it, isn't it? Nobody's backing down.
Don't back down.
On our side, their side.
But if you back down, you could live in a tent and eat with your hands.
Bonus. Yeah. Intel lies.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sold.
There's some good points there. Yeah.
Sorry. That's all we know. Now back to our guest, Peter Friedman.
well, speaking of don't back down and the Second Amendment for a minute, we've got to wait and see what happens tomorrow in Virginia.
I know it. I've got to get a hold of our friend out there in Virginia and see if he'll pop on with us about that particular topic. He's usually into national security.
I don't know whether to believe the press or,
I want to talk to somebody who's there.
Yeah, because I think the press is blowing this thing up, I think, a little bit. I know that.
Well, they love that.
I mean, they are.
Yes. Yeah. Well, they're calling for 100,000 people. I think anything that draws 100,000 people is noteworthy. But
there were 1 million people that were supposed to be at Area 51, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, that was a couple thousand.
I know that's different.
Yeah, that's way different. You don't mess with aliens.
Sorry, I shouldn't have brought that.
Yeah, they all back there scared. Yeah. So
what's really interesting is that Northam, Mr. Blackface back there, threatened to call out.
Uh oh. Did we lose him?
Oh, he got cut off at the pass.
Yeah, we lost him. Well, I'll get him back. Yeah.
Okie dokie. Okay. So Bill and I will talk about nothing here for just a second.
When Northam made his announcement to implement martial law, contrary to popular belief, he was not wearing blackface. He only wears blackface on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Is that it?
Yeah, so he was not wearing blackface when he made the announcement.
And when it's like some sort of gala event.
Yeah, an event. Yeah, he'll he'll dress up for that. Yeah, so I don't know what happened there. We lost our guest.
He got cut off at the pass. Okay, so while she's calling him, back to the book entitled "It's All About Muhammad."
Excellent read.
My favorite part was the part where, as they were pillaging their way through the Middle East, Muhammad's gang was getting bigger. They were sort of like pirates. They'd take them over and steal their stuff and their women. Muhammad was keeping all the cute girls, and the other guys started to get mad. So then Muhammad decided that God told him that Allah told him that they all had to wear covers over their faces. No, for real.
Yeah, that's right.
It's in the book. So,
right. So that book.
Spoiler alert. That's one of my favorites.
If you read that book, or if you buy that book, I guarantee you won't put it down. It's a big book, but it's a fascinating read about how all that took place and how it was written and all about how
he's got a great writing style. He's just a real real good storyteller.
It was a great read.
Not imaginary stories, but, you know, he just weaves it into a really good story. But I love that part. Yeah, they've got to all wear the thing over their face because Muhammad wanted to keep all the cute girls. It's like, what the heck? Yep.
They did have a casting couch.
Frank Burley is the Ernest Hemingway of Islamic literature.
It's true, too.
I mean,
I would hope that's not his real name, and I don't know, he probably lives in a bunker somewhere after that because he really blew the doors off him. And if I'm not mistaken, it's like 20,000 references or something. I mean, it's just pages and pages of references.
Yeah, 10 years.
Yeah,
10 years worth.
Yeah. So anybody who thinks this is just like some guy's opinion,
every bit of it's backed up.
But he does explain some really inexplicable things, like the covering over the face part. And I thought, wow, that just beats it all.
That and the fact that Muhammad had epilepsy.
That would be pivotal.
Constant epileptic fits, and people around him thought that he was receiving revelations from Allah.
Yeah, well, and that's why they have to rock back and forth on the rugs. Because that's what Muhammad did when he thought he had a seizure coming on, and he's like, oh, Allah told us all to do this. Everybody's rocking back on the rugs. All these years later, because they were following a guy that had epilepsy, it's like,
Grandpa used to do it, so we do it.
Oh, we lost Sue. Sue's on the floor in the engineering room.
It's like, why do you cut the ends off the ham? Because it's in the pan.
Because Grandma's pan was only 8 inches long. It's like, what? And so we're still doing rug rocking. It's like, and the thing on the face and all that, it's just nutty. I mean, it's just nutty. But when you read it in the context of his research, you're like, oh, this...
Yeah, really? You know, really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Kind of makes sense. I mean, hey, if you were going to start like a big thing, and he wasn't popular, nobody liked him, everybody thinks he was this big charismatic leader, but he really wasn't, and actually nobody liked him, which is why he had to kill people to get him to join. I'll kill you or you join, or maybe I'll just kill you and steal your stuff. And, oh, hey, if you guys come with me, we'll kill those guys and steal their stuff. They were like pirates.
And I'll split it with you.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean,
we'll split the booty.
They literally were like pirates. Honestly, through that whole book, it's pretty long. But as you're reading along, you have to keep stopping yourself and going, wow, this is like reading about Jesus only backwards. Like people think like Jesus and Muhammad were like both, you know, great prophets, started worldwide religions, blah, 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 lived these amazing lives. And it's like, no. When you read the biography of Muhammad, it's literally Jesus in reverse.
He was a gangster.
Yes. He was, too.
He was a pedophile and a serial killer.
And then there was that.
Oh, huge serial killer.
I mean, right out of the box. It was how many? It was a lot. It was like 30,000 people or something. I don't know. It was some ghastly number. And it was really early in the game, and people were like, uh-oh. You know, we better be nice to that Muhammad guy. So it wasn't like, oh, wow, he's got a great idea. We're really being enlightened by this, which is, I think, people overlay the Christian history over the Islamic history, thinking it's just the same, only slightly different. It's like, no, it's just the same, only 100% in reverse.
Yeah,
exactly.
Join or you're dead. And
not only that, but do you know, even today, do you know what the average IQ is in the Islamic world?
Take a guess.
It's like 75 or something, isn't it?
It's 84.
Ooh, sorry. Did they get a bump?
It's come up to 84.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much
intermarrying and you know, first cousins and stuff like that. It just, you know, and people don't understand. They don't want to buy it. They you know, they want to buy the appeasement angle and, well, let's pay them off and maybe they'll eat us last. But you're going to get eaten.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's the religious obligation. For example, back to the book.
Not the one with the fun stories, the other one.
Yeah, the other one. So, but book 8, verse 12, I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Book 8, verse 39. So anybody that tells you that Judaism and Christianity can peacefully coexist with Islam, that's nonsense. Book 8, verse 39, fight with them. Fight with the non-believers and until religion should be only for Allah. Let's see, 9.5, slay the idolaters wherever you find them. Take them captive. Lie in wait for them in every ambush. Okay, then my favorite one is Book 9, verse 29. Fight those who do not believe in Allah until they pay the tax. That's the extortion jizya money.
Mm-hmm.
Until they pay the tax in acknowledgement of superiority of Islam, and they are in a state of subjection. So there's door number two.
Yeah, that's door number two.
I mean, you don't make this stuff up. This is all religious, obligatory information, you know, that's right there in the Quran. And then you go into the Hadith, and these are the sayings in the, of Muhammad, supposedly as related by his followers. Well, after Muhammad's death in 632, Uthman, who succeeded him as the caliph or the caliph, you know, sent every word out all over the Islamic realm and told all the buddies who had ever been with Muhammad, send us in 3x5 index cards with you know, any question you ever ask Muhammad and the answer he gave you, and we're going to compile all of this. And what Uthman did was he took 6 clerics, or people who were actually familiar with Muhammad
People will have to hang through the news break to get the rest of the story. We're sorry. We're going to get cut off here in just a few seconds. Our guest, Peter Friedman, will be with us next hour. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Good afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is...
Oh, look at him. He didn't even give me time. He didn't even breathe. I don't know.
I was on a roll.
What's wrong with me?
Do it again.
Start over. Hi. Welcome to We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. And Pape Machinery is our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They handle everything, turf, mowers, everything. You can get zero-turn riders. They even handle the Honda line of push mowers. I mean, so if you've got landscaping to do, go in and see them. They're soon to be your local steel dealer. Probably going to have one of the largest inventories of steel in the area. Once we get that all set up, we'll definitely be letting you know. But they're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, just off I-5 there between Oasis and Pine Grove. And you can reach them at 226-9226 or check them out online at papemachinery.com.
Spelled...
P-A-P-E machinery.
A lot simpler than it sounds.
Yeah, it's not Peppy and it's not Pep. It's Pape.
No, and if you come up Twinview from the south side, you can pick up probably a refrigerator, could be some furniture.
Talk about that.
Twinview Boulevard is taking the place of the county dump, I guess.
It's easy just to dump.
You could build yourself an apartment right there on the side of the road, which I think is happening.
Yeah. So we're way beyond that.
Yeah, they're
though,
past so that. Just past don't that. Get distracted by the free furniture on the side of the road. Yeah.
Yeah. So go in and see them. Talk to the guys in there. They're very knowledgeable. And they'll get you fixed up.
Ta-da! And now, back to our guest, Peter Friedman. So, before we take off and hit the trail here, I just wanted to point out that at the top of the page there is a tab that is marked Islam. If you go to that and scroll through the shows, actually they're all awesome, and we've had Mr. Friedman on before, and he is full of information. There is a book at the bottom of that page. Somebody asked us to repeat that, and the book is entitled "It's All About Muhammad" by Frank Burley. It is a brown cover book. There's a photo there. It links you to the title and where you can buy it and all that. It's readily available. It is a great read, and it gives you the ultimate biography of Muhammad. And once you understand how Islam got started and who started it, and I think that's something that you could even make the case for some of the people that are other religions that are kind of misled. When people say, "Are you a Christian?" that means that you're a follower of Christ. Well, that means you know something about his life and you agree with the things he stood for. In Islam, I'm not sure how many people who practice that religion, I'm not sure how many of them actually know the history of the guy who started it, know the biography of the guy who started it. So go get a leg up on him and go read that. It's a fascinating read. I think you'll like it a lot. So there we go. There's our pitch for Frank. And Peter, where would you like to go at this point with our story?
Well, a few more examples of Islamic literature and that exemplifies the taqiyya and the lies and deception that we're told. We were talking about the hadith and the sayings of Muhammad that were sent in by everybody on 3x5 index cards. You know, I'm being facetious, of course. And when you go to the hadith, and you can look all this stuff up. I mean, it's all there on Google and whatever. But you go to one of my favorites here is Volume 4, Book 52 of the hadith, verse number 177, where Muhammad tells everybody, quote, "The hour will not be established until you fight with the Jews, and the stone behind which a Jew will be hiding will say, 'Oh, Muslim, there is a Jew hiding behind me, so come and kill him.'"
Wow.
Volume 4, Book 52, number 220. Muhammad said, "I have made victorious with terror cast into the hearts of the enemy." I mean, think about ISIS. You know, when you listen to this, it's exactly what they were following. Let's see. Under Tabari, verse 7, chapter 7, verse 97, Muhammad declared, "Kill any Jew who falls under your power." Tabari 969, "Killing unbelievers is a small matter to us." You go to the hadith of a gentleman named Ibn Ishaq, verse 327, it says, "Allah desires killing them to manifest the religion." You know, it goes on and on and on and on. There are also 109 separate verses in the Quran that say to kill the non-believers, you know, and refers back to verse 9, or book 9:29 that says, you know, just do whatever you want to with them until, you know, they pay the extortion tax or kill them because they're absolutely of no use to it.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty peaceful religion.
It's all about the killing.
It's 1,400 years of BS about being peaceful. It's not peaceful.
No,
the only thing that's peaceful about it, again, is P-I-E-C-E. You know, and now I'd kind of like to segue into what goes on with Iran.
Yeah.
Iran used to be Persia. Okay? If you go back 100 years and further back, the Persians never want to be commingled with Arabs. They never want to be thought of as Muslims. from a cultural standpoint. This is what's going on over there right now. These people are tired of this, with the Ayatollah and whatever it was. And it's interesting to look at the history of how Iran started the revolution in 1979. Initially, the Shah Reza Pahlavi, who was very, very in tune with the West, he tried as hard as possible to westernize Persia until 1979. Now, what happened in 1979, early 79? Jimmy Carter was the president, God help us, never met a terrorist he didn't like. Jimmy Carter denied the Shah medical treatment in the United States. And you can look all this stuff up. It's all there. And so what the Shah had to do was, the Shah had cancer, he had to go to Canada because Carter would not allow him to come into the United States. When the Shah died, Jimmy Carter, and I'd like to have his medical plan, his health care plan, I'll tell you, 95, keeping this SOB alive. You know?
Eat a lot of peanuts. That's
Ted Kennedy, you know? I'd love to have had his health care plan or have his health care plan and kept him alive with brain cancer for a year. Anyway, I mean, these people were just complete disasters for the country. Carter, after the Shah died, the Ayatollah Khomeini, who is not Khamenei, who is there today, he was a disciple of Khomeini. Khomeini was in exile in Paris and had been thrown out of Iran by the Shah for attempting to foment an Islamic revolution there and take over and create a theocracy. Well, what happened was Jimmy Carter, that SOB, sent an airplane, one of our airplanes, to Paris to pick Khomeini up and to install him in Iran.
I did not know that part. Yeah.
It's all there. Carter sent an airplane, one of our military aircraft, to Paris to pick up Khomeini and to deposit him to start the revolution in Iran in 1979. So everybody thinks about the Iranian hostages and how Reagan, you know, got them out and all the rest of it. But the start of all of that was under Jimmy Carter getting Khomeini out of France and over to Iran. Okay, and at that point, you know, this whole nonsense started with Islam as a theocracy in Iran. Under the Shah, women were not wearing veils. They were not wearing the niqab or the burqa. At that point, the men over there and the guys were not wearing beards. All right, this whole came in as a result of Khomeini in 1979.
And that's when they went, you know, full primitive, went backwards, and everybody had to get, I mean, the slightest thing, and you were being stoned and having your hands cut off, and you got to see life through a tiny slit in your things, in your little face shield. Got to take a really quick break here. And I'm going to pervert a great American song here for the purposes of our show on Islam. Just for you, Peter, I'm going to do that. So you're listening to We the People Radio. You can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Muhammad's going to cure.
Muhammad doesn't like me very much today.
No. Muhammad is not looking down
not
favorably
a, not
on,
a happy camper.
On Aaron Ryan.
Peter Friedman, you bring out the very best in us. Okay. Back to the story.
Hopefully. Okay. Back to the Iranian situation.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Iran, the population of Iran, are basically what are called Shiites. They comprise about 10% of the worldwide population of Muslims, the balance being Sunni Muslim. Okay, Sunni, to make this simple, think of Sunni as the basic day-to-day, not necessarily a super religious Orthodox. The Shiites, on the other hand, are super religious Orthodox. And the difference is because after the death of Muhammad in 632, and this is all in Ralph's book, after his death in 632, there was obviously this fight, okay, to see who was going to succeed him. The obvious successor was his son-in-law named Ali. The problem was that Ali was assassinated. Now, in Iran, you will have the mosque of Ali and theoretically the grave of Ali. So the Shiites have always believed religiously, not secularly like the Sunnis, but the Shiites have always believed religiously that the successor to Muhammad should be in the bloodline of the family of Ali. The Sunnis, on the other hand, are more religiously secular, saying that the individual who is going to succeed Muhammad in the Islamic world should be there by election or by some other method, as opposed to just being in the bloodline. Okay, so this is where this argument comes in between the Shiites and the Sunnis, and if they're not trying to kill the non-believers, then they're trying to kill each other. Mm-hmm. If you remember your geography, Mecca, which is the holiest place in Islam, is located in Saudi Arabia. Well, the Iranians and the mullahs in Iran, of course, religiously feel that they should be the protectors of the holiest site in Islam and not the corrupt Saudis. So that's where you have all of this conflict that goes on between Iran and Saudi Arabia. And then the Saudis, I mean, it wasn't Saudi Arabia during the time of Muhammad, it was just Arabia. You know, but the Saudis are really secular to the point that when I was over in Oakland Airport and running an operation over there, and we used to have Gulf Streams come in from Saudi Arabia, and the minute the door opened, all of a sudden the robes came off the men, and the towels on the heads came off, and here they were in Armani suits. And getting off the airplane and climbing into limos, the women who, you know, were wearing hijabs and stuff while they were flying in the airplane, all of a sudden those came off, and here are the Coco Chanel outfits that they're wearing. And I cannot tell you how many cases of Johnny Walker we loaded into the pit of the airplane before it took off. So
these were Sunnis, correct?
These were all Sunnis. These were all Sunnis from Arabia, Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
Okay, so they have a whole different paradigm in Saudi Arabia with the king, the crown prince. There's 4,000 members of the royal family. They've all got Gulf Streams flying all over the world, palaces and stuff like that. Well, you don't find that in Iran with the mullahs. Okay? All right, so Iran has always wanted to, since 1979, be the protectors of Islam and to get rid of the Saudis and to take over Saudi Arabia so that they could be the protectors of the two holiest sites in Islam, which, of course, is Mecca, number one, Medina would be number two. And we don't even count Israel because that's a complete deception. In all Islamic literature, Muhammad never set foot in Israel, never set foot outside of Arabia, the Arabian Peninsula, and this whole nonsense with the Temple Mount and the Dome of the Rock and the Golden Mosque and everything. That's all just obviously put up stuff here. Again, you got to read Frank's book. But it's all based on a dream that Muhammad said that he had, where he ascended on a white horse from the Dome of the Rock on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem to sit at the right hand of Allah and Gabriel, and then he was put there. It was a dream. It was an epileptic fit. I mean, it's all of this thing. It's all, you know, man-made.
Well, there's another theory to that, Peter, and that's he was abducted by aliens and taken up into the sky and taught all these things to come back.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. I'm sure that's happening simultaneously somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, and the aliens, you know, were the ancient Gabriel, and this could be part of another show with you guys, but, you know, if you know. You ever seen a Mormon temple?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, we can talk about the angel Gabriel and Moroni, and that's another whole thing that you know, is beyond belief if you look at it, you know, squarely in the historical face. Anyway, so it's the difference between history, fact, and faith. You know, faith is what you can't prove.
Sure.
You know, so we don't want to be like Joe Biden and say we don't want facts, we want truth.
Oh, I thought we were going straight for the golden hair on the leg petting.
Whew. Ooh, don't go there.
That was a close call.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. This year is going to all be pay-per-view.
It's
going to absolutely be pay-per-view. So, anyway, the whole Iranian thing, and everybody makes this big deal about the Iran nuclear deal.
Yes.
Download it and read it. It's BS. It's just a big load of crap. Okay.
And you know, the other thing about that, about the Iran deal, is that the people who live in the U.S. that have basically taken refuge here for a lot of years. I mean, they didn't just come here last week. They've been here for a long time, and they consider themselves Persian. I don't know if everybody is, but many are part of the Organization of Iranian American Communities, and they are looking for the overthrow of the mullahs and the return of their country to back when things were normal. And I remember having those guys on during that time period when the Iran deal was happening, and they said if they give them this deal and they give them the amount of money we think they're going to give them, basically all of our relatives that are being held over there as political prisoners will be executed. It'll just be a wholesale slaughter of all the people who oppose the regime, which is exactly what happened.
Well, and let me expand on that just a little bit. Everybody keeps talking, especially Donald Trump, God bless him, about how there's a sunset provision and an expiration in the deal. And it's a very short-lived deal. It's short-lived because that's what's required by the Quran. The Quran basically says, do not enter into any treaty or agreements with non-believers that last more than 10 years. And it is a way to have an armistice, if you will, or a halt or a lull in the fighting between Dar al-Islam, Dar al-Harb, until the Muslims can attain a superiority in military.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason to do a treaty. Otherwise, keep killing them if you're winning. So the whole thing, you'll never find any agreement or any treaty that comes out of Iran that is longer than 10 years. The Iran nuclear deal, which is garbage, I mean, just total garbage, all right, which is why it was never given to the Senate to ratify, because they never would have done it. That whole deal sunsetted in 8 years, and it gave them all of this time to continue with their ballistic missile program, to figure out how they were going to put warheads on missiles. And thank God for Trump and the people that are around him that obviously must have explained this to him. You know, every time I see some of these other people on TV and on some of the drive-by channels, and they're talking about this stuff, and they have total cranial rectal inversion.
On that happy note, you can ponder that while we celebrate capitalism here at We the People. We'll be back with our guest, Peter Friedman. It is, let's see, Sunday afternoon, the 19th of January, 2020, just in case this replays at some other time and you wonder why we're talking about this. It already happened. It happens sometimes, we replay. So you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
For the games people play now, every night and every day now, never meaning what they say now, never saying what they mean, while they while away the hours in their ivory towers, till they're covered up with flowers in the back of a black limousine. Whoa, la da da.
Talking about you and me and the game. Now, on the day I was born, the nurses all gathered round and they gazed in wide wonder. The joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad to the bone, bad, 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 bad to the bone.
Mohammed really inspired a large selection of modern music. A lot of music.
Yeah, he did. They made a lot of songs about him.
By the way, it's halftime and Kansas City's leading 21-17.
Is that good?
Yeah, I'm not a boss.
Oh, yeah.
We're just celebrating that we didn't go to the McGregor fight last night that lasted 40 seconds.
Yeah, that pay-per-view was expensive.
We went over to Republican headquarters and it's like, why is this parking lot full? Like, the only thing open was like a tattoo shop and a sports bar. It's like, well, who's packing them in? Somebody's packing them in. So we drove through the parking lot and went over by the sports bar, and you can see on the screen, it's like, oh, that's right, it's the McGregor fight tonight. So Bill just checked a little while ago. We were like, maybe we should go in.
Yeah, it was already over.
It was over.
Oh, for God's sake.
So we know about that. We just didn't know about the other game. So thank you for
the other game. I'm not really a basketball fan, so I don't follow that too close.
Nice. What a chucklehead.
Yeah, chucklehead.
All right, back to Mohammed.
All right.
Okay.
But
so
when you talk about this stuff, you kind of have to joke around, otherwise your head explodes. I mean,
well, this is very true.
Yes.
Okay, so essentially, you know, see if you can get a weekend workshop together. I'll be happy to come up there.
That'd be fun.
We'll have a lot of fun. Anyway, so you understand the Iran situation here. Iran takes, obviously, the mullahs take all of the religious obligations that we were reading the last hour as gospel. I mean, because again, the number one question has to be, do you believe that all of the words in the Quran come literally from God? The answer is yes. Well, then you got to do all these things. And this is all that ISIS was doing. They were taking this and they were translating what they were reading into action. So let me talk a little bit about jihad, okay? Because that's something that gets thrown around all the time, and yes, Iran is the largest state sponsor of terrorism, Islamic terrorism in the world, which they are required by religious obligation in the Quran to do. Okay, so people got to understand that. Okay, Islam has five pillars to it, and they're called the five pillars of Islam. Okay, the first one is acknowledging, it's called the Shahada. It's the acknowledgement that Allah is the one true God, Muhammad is his prophet. Now, if in the heat of battle at some point, and the Muslims capture you, and you say, okay, I'm going to convert, and I acknowledge that Allah is the one true God, Muhammad is his prophet, they're not allowed to kill you. The second pillar is that you have to pray five times a day. The first one occurs at sunup, the last one occurs at sundown, and that's where they're on the rug and they're doing the epileptic thing. The third is fasting, okay? So there are certain holidays like Ramadan in which you are required to fast. Theoretically, when you fast and don't eat, you're supposed to be thinking about all of the religious obligations. In my experience, you're thinking about eating because you're hungry.
Right.
The fourth one is what is called paying zakat. Now, I'll come back to that one for a minute. And the last is, once in a Muslim's lifetime, he should make the pilgrimage, if he can, to Mecca, and then he walks around the Kaaba seven times. The last time that happened, I think, there were something like 50,000 people that got trampled. Anyway, you can go on Google, you can see some YouTubes of people walking around the stone building in the middle of Mecca and what happens. Okay, what is zakat? Zakat is very interesting. Zakat, most Muslims will tell you, which is deception, taqiyya, is that it's charity. That's crap. It is not charity at all. There are eight forms of what are called zakat. And zakat, again, is the payment of money to fund these eight things that are defined in Sharia law and reliance of the traveler. One of which is that a Muslim is required on an annual basis to contribute to the cause 2.5% of their wealth, not what they made that year. It's not a tithe like in Mormonism of whatever your income was that year. It is 2.5% of a Muslim's total wealth annually. And they're required to send this over there to certain charities, which are really not charities, but they're money laundering operations here, run by mullahs, in order to be, you know, considered a pious Muslim. One of the issues with that is that if you go on the web, and you're familiar with the Dow Jones?
Yeah.
Dow Jones Industrial App. Okay. There is the Dow Jones Islamic Index. Most people don't even know it exists. It's one of the things that was helped be created by Elena Kagan. You know who she is?
Oh, yeah.
Justice Kagan on our Supreme Court, who used to be the president of Harvard Law School, never appeared in court as a lawyer. And she's the one, years ago, in 2008, who put together a symposium at Harvard Law School and the Treasury Department called Islamic Finance 101. And from that, we wind up with the Dow Jones Islamic Index. And you will be fascinated by what you find on there and what Muslims own, not only worldwide, but in the United States. For example, Caribou Coffee. Pods, you know, you see all these moving vans.
That Pods.
Well, that's all Muslim owned.
No,
it's all financed by the Bank of Bahrain, who also, by the way, financed the Villages retirement community in Florida. So they're everywhere. They're everywhere. Okay, so what is zakat? Zakat is not charity. The Arabic word for charity is sadaqah. You may give sadaqah to non-Muslims. You cannot give zakat to non-Muslims because zakat is used per Sharia law to fund jihad and holy war. It is to buy armaments. Back then it was to buy swords, horses, shields, and things like that. That is what one of the five pillars is of Islam. Now, let's segue to the money that Obama gave to Iran. Does that kind of light a fire in you at this point?
Yeah.
2.5% of a Muslim's wealth, or 2.5% of a country's wealth, if it's an Islamic country, to fund jihad. It's one of the five pillars of Islam. You've got to start to connect the dots. Why did he give them $1.7 billion in cash on pallets, flying that money over there in unmarked U.S. government aircraft?
So who controls the money? Is it the mullahs that say where it goes?
The mullahs control every single dollar. The mullahs are the ones who finance Soleimani. Soleimani should have been taken out years ago. We stopped Israel from taking Soleimani out half a dozen times under Obama.
Hmm.
How many American lives would have been saved? You know?
Countless.
And this stuff just goes on and on and on, and people, they just don't want to believe it. They don't want to hear it because they hope the alligator will eat them last. Now, you take the Arab Spring, which actually turned into an Arab nightmare, starting with Hillary and Libya and Gaddafi and all of the rest of these things that occurred, and the refugees coming out of Syria. Thank God Trump put a stop to it, which he had the absolute statutory right to do, which the Supreme Court ultimately concurred with. It seems to me, and it's my opinion, that as the Democrat Party loses the black community more and more, they have to find another community to work with. And that's where all these refugees come in. This started, and I think we did a show about this, about the refugee baloney,
mm-hmm.
and it actually started with Joe Biden and Ted Kennedy with Lyndon Johnson. You know, I'm waiting for somebody to come out and start accusing Joe Biden of starting this whole refugee stream, because he was the guy who, with Ted Kennedy, convinced Johnson to stay in Vietnam to create the Vietnamese refugee stream. Connect those dots. And then in 1976, when Joe Biden and Ted Kennedy convinced Jimmy Carter, again, our buddy, to sign the new immigration bill, which allowed more refugees under Carter to come in. You have Clinton, who allowed all the Somali refugees to come in. That's how we got Ilhan Omar. You got to go back and connect the dots before mm-hmm. you can get a picture that makes sense. And then once you do connect the dots and you get that picture, you sit back and you go, oh, man, we're in trouble.
Yeah, this has been getting played out for a lot of years, and
I've always
said they play an excellent long game, and that's what's been happening.
Wow. Well, the Muslims have always said that the West has the watches, but they have the time.
Yeah,
I like that.
And this is a long game. And Ronald Reagan, who I was one of his two pilots in 1979, used to say all the time that this country is one election away from turning the other direction.
Yeah, no kidding.
It almost happened with Obama.
And this one is
happened with Obama.
Hard to believe, but it's actually more critical Got to take a really quick last break here, and we'll come back for the rest of the hour with our guest, Peter Friedman. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing. They did a bad, bad thing.
You ever loved someone so much you thought your little heart was gonna break into?
That was just a dream. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion. Trying to keep up with you. And I don't know if I can do it.
And we're back. Okay, so in less than 10 minutes, besides the fact that we're definitely doing a seminar, so, you know.
Yeah, we need to put that together.
Start checking your tires and get the oil changed and whatnot so you can scurry on up here.
No problem at all. I just want to let you know that you had my website, IslamThreat.com, on your page.
That was a question because it malfunctioned.
Yeah. No, I had to take it down because I got too many death threats after the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they're in infinite wisdom decided to consider my website one of the six Bay Area hate groups.
Nice.
Yeah. So
have you ever canceled an event because of death threats, Peter?
Nope, I just wear my ballistic vest.
Okay.
Well, I wondered about that, the Islam Threat website, and so I clicked on it. Oh, boy. I got, 90 pages opened up of warnings and all this weird stuff, and I thought, great, I just hijacked my own computer. I'm an idiot. So I was going to ask you if there was a change of site, or you just the whole thing is down right now?
No, the whole thing is gone.
Okay. Dang.
I had too many people who...
We're requesting religious peace information?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah,
Where am I going to be and when? I used to post my lecture schedule on there and everything and wound up having to take that down. And then the last event that I did was down there in Fresno, and I actually had six guys from Blackwater who provided protection, and my wife put her foot down and said, no, that's it.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, you gotta look out for yourself.
Well, I know when we tried to do that Eagle Forum thing, magically all the emails between the two of us disappeared in my computer back to 2018. They just went away. So that was awesome and super helpful.
Well, I am more than willing to come up there with you guys and do a weekend seminar, just a workshop, and go through, you know, we start out with the PowerPoint on the origins of the Quran, which will absolutely blow everybody's mind where that came from. It started out with the ancient Egyptians and the moon and the crescent moon and the whole... It's fascinating when you look at it, which is why in the beginning in book one of the Quran, it specifically states, and it's one of these shorter chapters, it's only like three verses, and it says, hey, if you criticize the Quran, we're going to kill you.
Yeah.
So...
I think a lot of those threats you have to take seriously. You really do, because they're fanatical.
Yes.
And so
they're religious obligations, and again, like we learned today by just reading the words from the book, you know, there are religious obligations to subdue, kill, and subdue any non-believer, you know, until they pick, you know, door number one, two, or three. So who do you trust? How do you trust?
Right.
There is no trust. So
yeah, it's a that part is a super dangerous business and nothing to be trifled with, obviously.
So Peter, where do you see this Iran thing going in the next, say, few weeks? I mean, do you think they're pretty much done with their threats and they're going to continue on their path?
Oh, I think so.
I think so too.
I
don't think they're stupid.
They understand that there are going to be some serious consequences, and that they're going to.
We'll have to get him back in just a moment.
Yeah, I don't think the mullahs are.
It's happening
again. I think they're crazy, but they're not stupid, and I think they realize if they do strike out, the ramifications would be disastrous for them.
Oh yeah, but they'll still tell their own guys that, all the things that they're doing to.
Oh yeah, that they won the battle. They'll have to do it with a ham radio out of a cave somewhere. But
remember Baghdad, Bob?
Yes.
No American tanks will be in Baghdad, and then on the TV behind them, here we are rolling through town. the Egyptians. Yeah. If you remember the 67 war. And the Egyptian news media, as the Israelis were totally wiping out the Egyptian Air Force in the Sinai on the ground, and we have downed all of these Israeli fighter jets, and we're going to get, oops.
Or not.
Well, this is breaking news. Yeah, no, you can't believe it.
It's Takiya.
Right? Takiya. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Bill, you missed your cue. So Bill's in the background. He's supposed to be going, Takiya, Takiya.
Yeah.
Takiya. Anyway.
I don't understand. I mean, I do on one level, but I can hear people out there thinking, why does anybody fall for this? I mean, how does this remain a worldwide religion? Is it just hardcore brainwashing? I mean, not that we're ever going to know, but what's your guess?
They want to be eaten last. It's the alligator theory.
Hmm.
And there's so few people today, especially in the United States. I mean, we're not tired of war. We're tired of not winning.
Well, we're not fighting to win in a lot of cases because we're not allowed to.
Exactly. We have not won a conflict since World War II. I mean, when I was over in Vietnam, we were pissed. Let us do our job. This is how, thank God, Trump came in, took the rules of engagement, threw them in the trash can to get rid of ISIS, and said, hey, what are the Marines for? They're out there to kill people and break things.
Yep.
Go do it, get it over with, and come back. That was the Roman theory. That's where the word decimate comes from. If you screwed around with the Roman legions, the legion blew in a town. They lined all the nails up there. They counted every tenth nail. That's where the word decimate comes from. And they killed them. And they said, don't make us come back.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
The rules of war have gotten crazy in the last couple of decades. I don't understand it. But
we don't want to hurt civilians. Wait a minute. How did we win World War II? Let me think about that. Let's see.
We flattened their cities. We broke their back, and they could no longer wage war.
Well, the whole the whole thing about not sidestepping all the civilians. That's when they started strapping bombs to little kids and their moms.
That's right.
I mean, that was
war is ugly.
Yeah, that was easy too. I mean, if you were a ruthless. If you're a ruthless person and you have that many people really kind of mind-controlled at that level, that was an easy switchover. Okay, great. We'll just strap these to little kids, and those guys will never, they'll never do anything about that. I remember my brother telling me when he was there in the 80s that that was a big thing, to try to teach these guys how to drive these tanks and whatnot, because these women would stand out in the road. And they wanted to stop. I mean, obviously, they didn't want to run somebody over. But the problem was they had bombs strapped to them. So if they were in the road, they were literally a human bomb. Just brutal.
Yeah, we don't fight that
way. We can't wrap our mind around that.
I wrote an article several years ago called "The Psychology of Muslim Atrocity."
We have to get out. Sorry, Sue was giving me the high sign, and I was looking at her over there flailing, and I blew her off. We had a little song here we're going to play for our friends in Virginia to cheer them on, and we will chat with you very soon, Mr. Friedman. Thank you so much for being on with
us
today.
Thanks for being on, sir.
My pleasure. Anytime.
You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Last night I heard this politician talking about his brand new mission. Liked his plans, but they came undone when it got around to God and guns. I don't know how he grew up, but it sure wasn't down at the hunting club. 'Cause if it was, he'd understand just a little bit more about the working man. God and guns keep us strong.